Not a professional. Never claimed to be. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 14 tonight. Matthew chapter number 14. Yeah, back in the book of Matthew, amen. We'll be, we might be in Matthew a little while. It's been helping me, amen. I hope it's been helping you. And love the Word of God. I am aware of what time it is, and I know that the weather's getting bad, so I'm going to just preach as quick as I can, if you'll listen as quick as you can, amen. But we'll be in Matthew in chapter number 14. And in the passage of Scripture prior to what we're going to read tonight, Jesus is still doing miracles, amen. Now, we've been preaching a bunch out of Matthew chapter number 8 and chapter number 9, but I've gone through to 14, and Jesus has been teaching a little bit, and He goes back to doing miracles. I'm glad that He's still today a miracle-working God, amen. And in Matthew chapter number 14, He feeds thousands. Many have called it the feeding of 5,000, but if you read in the Bible, what it says is that there were 5,000 men beside women and children. I believe that there were 5,000 men, and that each of those men, they had women with them, most of them, and I'm sure that there were a whole mess of children, so at least over 10,000 people were fed here miraculously with just five loaves and two fishes. And we know that when they took up the remnants of it, when they took up the leftovers, so to say, there were 12 baskets full. 12 baskets full of leftovers. I'm glad that God's leftovers are better than what we can bring. Amen. And Jesus is doing miracles in this passage of Scripture. And we're going to look at a passage that was kind of on my heart as I was reading in the Bible the other day, because Sunday morning we preached on how Jesus would calm the storm. And the disciples, they were on that ship in the midst of the sea, and the great storm came, and we looked at the faith that Christ is looking for. And then we find somewhat of a similar situation again in Matthew in chapter number 14. In verse number 22, the Bible says this. This is after the feeding. He says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before them unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked onto the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Amen. And I don't have any clever title for tonight's message, but I do want to preach on this thought, walking on the water. Walking on the water. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Lord, we're so thankful for our salvation and for what You did at Calvary's cross. And Lord, I pray that You just help us tonight as we look into the Scriptures to see the things that we can apply to our own lives to increase our own faith, and that we would love You more dearly and follow You more nearly. And Father, I pray, God, that we would see You more clearly in the Scriptures tonight. And Lord, that we'd be convicted, and Lord, that we'd feel Your presence. And Lord, that we'd leave here loving You a little bit more than when we came. Challenge us tonight, we pray, from the Word of God, and we'll give You all the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I am going to move very quickly tonight, and there's five things that I want to look at in this passage of Scripture. We're going to jump right into it. The first thing that I found interesting was their confrontation. their confrontation, the disciples' confrontation with Jesus, what they find right here. And I don't mean confrontation in such a sense as that they were angry at one another or that there was any contention, but I mean that how Jesus confronted his disciples, how they confronted him, I found it to be a bit unusual when I was reading this passage of Scripture. Jesus has sent away his disciples onto a boat into the sea, and he's come apart from the multitudes, and Jesus has gone out into the wilderness up into a mountain to pray. And I think that there's some things in here that stand out that I find a little unusual, or that from the naked eye or from the world's perspective we might find unusual. In verse number 24, I thought that this was an unusual place. An unusual place for this confrontation. The Bible says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary." Now, I don't know about you, but I don't meet many of people standing in the sea when I'm out on a boat. If I'm out in the river, if I'm out on a lake and I'm out there, I don't see too many of people. I don't have many confrontations of people who are not in other boats or who are not on the shore, but they met him on the water. They met him in the midst of this storm. We talked about just last Sunday how that oftentimes we will experience storms in our lives because they can bring us closer to God. This confrontation with God is interesting to me because oftentimes he's going to show up in an unusual place. It might be a storm. It might be a time where you feel like heaven's ear is a million miles away and like you can't get a hold of God and you can't feel His Spirit and you can't feel His presence and you can't understand why there's no nearness there. But just when you least expect it, God will show up just on time. Amen. I thought it was unusual that the place that they met, but I thought it was also an unusual time. The Bible says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." I was researching. I was trying to find some sort of a specific time, but it would have been whenever they had chose. They took these time slots throughout the evening. They were fishermen. That's what they did. And when they'd fish through the night, one person would sleep while the other person would fish, and they had enough men there that they had four watching. And it was at the very end of the night, when it was just the darkest, when they'd been out there all night, they'd been on this storm all night, they'd been trying to watch all night, they didn't understand what was going on, they didn't understand why they had been there so long or when they were going to see Jesus again, but He showed up in the fourth watch in the middle of the night. I'm glad for those times in my life where I felt like I was in the fourth watch of the night. God shows up and God meets with me and God communes with me and I can feel His Spirit and I can feel His touch. I'm so glad that we have a God who shows up even in the darkest times. Amen. This confrontation was unusual because of the place and because of the time. It was when they least expected it, I imagine, but it was also unusual the way that it came. It was a very peculiar thing. They found it troublesome when God showed up. Look what the Bible says in verse number 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." That's something they've never seen before. This is something that they were perplexed by. And you and I are Christians, and we've read in the Scriptures how that Jesus did this miracle and that by faith He would allow Peter to do the same. But I believe it's safe to say in here this evening that we'd still be a little shook if we saw somebody walking on the water today. I believe we'd still be a little taken back. I believe that it was something that it was unusual to them, the way that God showed up, the way that God approached them. And the Bible will tell us that God works in mysterious ways, that His ways are higher than our ways, that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'm so glad that God shows up in an unusual fashion occasionally. Amen. Thank God for the presence of God. The unusual way, it was very peculiar. The Bible says, "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." They were so upset, they were so fearful, they were so scared at the way that God had manifested Himself to them. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was something evil. They thought it was something wicked. They didn't know what to think. Listen to me, that's happened to me a time or two. God shows up and I don't know which way's up. I don't know what to think. But that's the way it happens sometimes. Sometimes it's unusual. It was an unusual message. They weren't expecting to hear what they heard in verse number 27. And the Bible says this, But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And I imagine at this time their hearts are calmed, they were scared, they're in the midst of this storm, it's real late at night. I imagine they're tired, the waves are boisterous and the wind is heavy and they don't know what's going on. But then they hear the voice of the Savior and it calms their fears. It was an unusual message that they got. And then also in regards to this confrontation, I want to notice that this was an unusual boldness from Peter. There was an unusual boldness. Look in verse number 28. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, biddest me to come out on the water. See, Peter was displaying a little bit of faith, but just in the next verse you'll have to find that he got asked to put his money where his mouth was. He said, if that's you, he says, bid me to come out there. I'll walk on the water. I'll meet you. I imagine the other disciples are standing back looking at him like, man, you're crazy. You know, when you get fixing to do something for God, there's some people that are going to look at you like you're crazy. There's some people that are going to question and think, what in the world is he thinking? What in the world is he doing? What in the world? I tell you, when I got called to preach, so many of my family said, what are you going to do to eat? What are you going to do to live? What are you going to do for money? Oftentimes I was reminded in my heart by the Holy Spirit of God of the Scripture where Jesus sent His disciples out. He told them, He said, carry neither purse nor scrip. He said, don't even take a second coat with you. Where God guides, He provides. Amen. Amen. That didn't change the fact that you'll get some crazy looks that people will think that it's an unusual boldness, an unusual faith. That's what I see in regards to the confrontation that we find in the passage of Scripture, but we also see their concentration. The Bible says in verse number 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I'm trying to be as quick as I can tonight. We're going to get through this, but I want to notice a few things about their concentration. The Bible says that he walked on the water. God can take you places that you thought were impossible. Listen to me. Growing up, I grew up dirt poor little country boy from Hurricane Creek, West Virginia. I never thought I'd get to see the city lights of New York City. I never thought I'd get to see an airport or an airplane or much less get to fly on one. I never thought I'd got to look across the ocean. I never thought I'd have any kind of a passport getting stamped. But through the ministry and through what God has, the outlets and the opportunities that He's provided me, He's answered all those prayers. He's done all those things for me, all these things that 5.5 years ago I'd have thought was impossible. Possible, God has brought him to pass. Amen. This is a concentration that he had. And I like this. I got to thinking about this, Brother Larry. Just one word from God was enough to give Peter the faith he needed. What's the Bible say right there? And he said, come. That's all Peter needed to hear. Listen to me, friend. If God gives you the green light, that's all you need. It don't matter what your family might say. It doesn't matter what the politicians might say. It doesn't matter what the neighbors say, what the people say, and they're trying to put in your ears. If God tells you to come, if God tells you to go, if God gives you the green light, that's all that you need. That's all he needed was one word from God, and that gave him the faith and the courage to do something that was impossible. I'm glad that just one word from God will do. Amen. It's an interesting concentration because the Bible says, he said, come, and Peter was come down out of the ship and walked on the water. We're literally reading about a miracle that these men witnessed, and I like how it finishes that verse. It says, to go to Jesus. It didn't say to impress the other disciples. It didn't say to show off. It didn't say to prove a point. It didn't say to put this great faith, Peter's great faith, on display. The Bible says that he stepped out on that water for one reason, to go to Jesus. Amen. You know when you're going to see miracles? You know when you're going to see the impossible done? When you decide to go to Jesus. When you run towards Him. When you get Jesus in your sights and He's the only thing that matters and He's the only thing that remains and everything else, all the other desires have passed away. That's when things are going to, that's when miracles are going to happen. That's when the impossible is going to be done. We call that their concentration. If we're going to walk the walk by faith, and we're going to walk in the Spirit of God, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, the Hebrew writer said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Hey, I'm glad I can keep my eyes on Jesus, and He'll help me to do the impossible.
Amen.
Amen. We see their confrontation and their concentration, but we see some commotion in verse number 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.'" The Bible says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous." He wasn't afraid until he saw that. It wasn't until he laid his eyes on the surroundings.
Amen.
It wasn't until he took his eyes off of Jesus. You say, "Preacher, my life's falling apart. Preacher, my family's falling apart. Preacher, I feel like I'm falling apart spiritually." Let me ask you this. Do you have your eyes on Jesus? Are your eyes fixed where they need to be? Are they fixed on Jesus tonight? Because the Bible says when he saw the winds boisterous, it wasn't until he looked at that wind that he got scared. He'd been walking on water without fear. Think about that for a minute. The faith he had to step out on that water, unafraid, without fear. God was helping him to do the impossible. And there's something I want for us to understand here tonight as Christians, as the family of God. The devil knows what kind of faith is dangerous. And so he's going to do his best to get your eyes on the storm and get your eyes off of Jesus. He's going to do his best to get these distractions coming your way. And we call this the commotion in the story because it's nothing. It's just it's the side story here. It's just what's going on around. It's not what's important. It's not the main thing to notice. But what happened with Peter is he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to notice everything else. It's not you have Jesus and this insight. It's not Jesus and anything else. It's not anything else and Jesus. It's Jesus, it is Christ, and it is Him alone. And that's who we're supposed to have our sights fixed on.
Amen.
Wasn't until he put his eyes on the wind and he was afraid, the Bible says. And Peter cries out to Jesus, saying, "Lord, save me." That's where we see their correction. Christ will rebuke them here in verse number 31. We know that from what we've read. I want you to look what the Bible says, though. I like this. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand." Hey, I'm glad that word "immediately" is in there. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Jesus isn't the kind of God that says, "You know, I'm going to let him sink a while. You know, he got himself in this mess. He took his eyes off me. I'm just going to let him sink for a minute." No, Peter, believing with that faith, said, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says, immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand. Hey, God's going to take care of his children. Amen. If you're willing to humble yourself, if you're willing to acknowledge and say, "God, I've messed up. God, I'm sinking. God, I made the wrong decision. I need your help. I need you to save me." Every single time, he's going to be there for you. I believe that in my heart. The Bible says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He's not a let you sink a while kind of God. God is always going to be there and he's always going to take care of his children. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
See, when Jesus corrects you, it's the kind of correction that lifts you up, isn't it? Hey, I was thinking about this the other night. The Bible says, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I was thinking about the Word of God, whether I'm needing reproving, whether I'm needing rebuking, or whether I'm needing exhorting, everything that I need is right here in this passage of Scripture. And every single time, whether I'm getting cut in two or I'm getting exhorted, every time I'm getting lifted up, I'm getting helped. Amen. Jesus' correction is the kind that lifts you up, the kind that helps you. And the Bible says in verse number 31 there that he caught him and he said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He acknowledges, he tells Peter, he says, the reason you're sinking, the reason you're not walking on the water anymore, the reason that the miracle is no longer taking place is because you let loose of your faith. Because you got your eyes on the storm In your heart, you said, I don't know if he can keep me walking on the water this way. These are awful bad conditions for a miracle right now. And the faith in his heart began to wane, began to waver, and he began to sink. And Jesus tells him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Lord, help us for those times in our lives. I've heard those words plenty of times when God's worked on my heart. God's had to help me and deliver me and save me from a mess or get me out of a situation. And I've heard in my heart, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We got no reason to doubt God.
Amen.
We got no reason tonight to not have faith in His Word. We've seen their confrontation, their concentration, their commotion, their correction, and last but not least, I'll show you this and we'll be done, their confession. The Bible says in verse number 32, And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and then they that were in the ship worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Their faith was tried. I'm beginning to see a common denominator here in the book of Matthew when I see these miracles. When their faith tried, when their faith tested, and they put it on display, what happens in the end? God gets the glory out of it. You might be in the midst of a storm. You might be out in that ship and the wind is tossing to and fro. And God might be asking you, He might be saying, come. He might be asking you to step out on that water. But let me tell you something. It's for His purpose, it's according to His will, and it's for His glory. They confessed Him as the Son of God in this passage of Scripture. That's a big deal. The Bible says, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. You know what He's saying? He's saying, listen, without a doubt. Without a doubt, they're saying, listen, we got no more reason to doubt now. Their faith grew stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until God got the glory out of it. You know, we're going to keep going through storms. You know what's going to happen to our faith? It's going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and God is going to get the glory out of it. Let me say this, and I'll say this as we close. Make certain that He's getting the glory out of it. Make certain that it's not just of no avail. Be sure to give Him the glory when He delivers you from something.
Amen.
Be sure to give Him the glory when He raises you up. Be sure to give Him the glory when you get corrected, when you get helped, when you get challenged, when you get drawn closer to Him. Make sure to give Him the glory. He's asking some of you to walk out on the water tonight. What are you going to do, church? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I wonder tonight how many of us in here there are. I said, Preacher, I've been through that storm a time or two. And I've heard the sweet voice of the Savior calling me out, bidding me to come to Him. And so many oftentimes I stayed in the boat. Maybe you didn't stay on the boat. Maybe you had the faith to step out, but maybe you've sunk a time or two and you've had to cry out. You've had to be rescued. Listen to me. I've been there. I know what that's like. Maybe tonight you want to come to the altar and you want to pray and say, God, I want You to help me to go towards You, to walk towards You, to walk in the power of the Spirit, the fullness of God, and to live for You and to walk by faith and to keep my eyes on Jesus and not on the storm. If that's you tonight, I invite you to come. Folks, come to the altar. I invite you to pray. Let me ask this question here. If you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, if you're not sure if you'd spend eternity separated from God in a devil's hell, or if you go to the splendid glories of heaven forever and forever, for all eternity, if you don't know for certain tonight where you're going to spend eternity, won't you get that right tonight? Won't you be sure about that tonight? Won't you get saved tonight? If there's anybody in here tonight that's like that, I say, Preacher, I don't know for certain where I'm going to spend eternity when I die. Will you raise your hand? Will you raise your hand? Christians, I invite you to come tonight.